Odyssey is giving you a chance to win a trip to London to see Taylor Swift at the Eras Tour. It's Tay in the UK.
Hey, it's Taylor.
Just download the free Odyssey app, log in and listen to a participating station for a minimum of 60 minutes to get your daily entry. And you could win a chance to fly off to London with three friends and see Taylor.
I can't wait to see you at the Eras Tour in London.
For more, go to odyssey.com/Taylor. Tay in the UK.
It's on the Odyssey app.
Thanks to Republic Records.
This is a national contest.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Hey, what's up, San Diego? Top of the program to you. 3 o'clock on a Wednesday afternoon. Chris Ello, Tony Gwynn Jr. Gwynn and Chris with you for the next couple of hours leading into Padre baseball tonight. Padres once again going up against the Los Angeles Dodgers. It'll be the rubber game of a three-game series. And it'll get underway at 6:10 tonight with Garrett Richards on the mound for San Diego. And we'll see if the Padres can get this series over the Dodgers. Looked like they might get it last night, Tony Gwynn Jr.
They did.
As Denelson Lamet took a no-hitter into the sixth inning. But it was Mark at 619 Padres fan who tweeted and said, is it just me or do these no-hit bids go from being history-making to a loss in like 2 seconds flat every time? That has happened not only to the Padres not ever have a no-hitter in franchise history, but it's almost like bad luck when they get close to having a no-hitter because something happens that sends it awry and base hit by Corey Seager and an error and the game's tied, then another error the next inning, and all of a sudden you end up losing that ball game and Denelson Lamet pitches brilliantly for nothing. But what are you going to do? I said after the game, Tony, you got to play clean to beat the Dodgers, and that means clean for 9 innings, and the Padres just didn't really do that last night.
Yeah, I mean, a combination of, you know, the Padres gave, at least from the pitching standpoint, defense standpoint, first 5-6 innings, they were good. Really, first 5 innings, they were phenomenal.
Yeah.
Denelson Lamet was efficient. He was economic out there with his pitch count. But as the game went on, the Dodgers turned it on in that sixth inning. The at-bat Peterson put together, the long at-bat Seager put together. All of a sudden, I think he started that inning with like 50-something pitches. Next thing you know, he's moved it up pretty high.
Yeah.
And that's what the Dodgers do. Now, the errors, the hit-by-pitch, none of those things help when you're facing the Dodger. But I think this was more about what the Dodgers did late than what the Padres did throughout the 9 innings, honestly.
Yeah, that's a good point. But, you know, I added it all up last night. A couple of errors, 3 hit batters, a wild pitch was mixed in there. And, you know, it's hard enough to beat the Dodgers. As Jace Tingler said so eloquently after the game, you cannot give the Dodgers an extra 90 feet.
No.
I'll tell you one thing. I love Jace Tingler. He comes up with all of these crazy little sayings now that are starting to become Jace-isms.
Yeah.
He was the one who – what was the first one he said?
Hickey.
Instead of a hiccup, it was a hickey. Yeah.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
Now he's saying you can't give the Dodgers any those extra 90 feet. So he's got he's got some funny little sayings, and I'm starting to get into it now with Jace a little.
Though the hit by pitch,
yeah.
The error from Stam, those things pile up, and that goes from making it maybe a 1-run game to making it a 3-run game, and that changes the complexion of the game. Their bullpen this year, unfortunately for teams facing them, has actually been really, really good. They haven't given up much out of that bullpen. So,
yeah.
But they, again, the Padres still have a chance to win that series tonight as they take on the Dodgers. So,
you know, all the talk was after the game or during the game really was about Lamet and how, you know, remarkable he was and for 5 2/3 innings and how the no-hitter got away and the whole thing. But everybody kind of overlooked the job that the other guy was doing on the other side, Dustin May. I mean, are you kidding me with some of those pitches, Tony? They were starting outside and then almost hitting batters.
It sounds like you're referring to the one
movement.
Machado.
much movement on that pitch. And Dustin May only allowed three hits. Somehow Cronenworth got him for a home run. This Cronenworth is on fire right now.
Yes, he is.
And it's great to see. He made another great defensive play, hits his first career home run. But for the most part, Dustin May, eight strikeouts, one walk. And, you know, we were praising the Padres during that Arizona series to begin the year by drawing all those walks and having all those great at-bats. Seems like they're still kind of having good at-bats, but they're not getting the same results right now. I mean, last night, 12 strikeouts, only one walk. And that's what happens when you face better pitching.
Better pitching, I mean, those, yeah. I'm glad
you said those guys for the Dodgers are tough. I mean, I don't know a lot about Blake Treinen. I know that he's had some insane seasons with Oakland and had a 38-save season. But some of the movement on some of those pitches that he was throwing in the eighth inning, I mean, absolutely unhittable. And he strikes out the side. Then Jansen comes in and does his thing. I mean, these guys are good.
By the way, what Treinen was throwing was a bowling ball. Like when you're throwing 97, 98 miles per hour with that kind of sink, that feels like a bowling ball when it hits your bat. And
In other words, it's a heavy ball.
It's a heavy ball. Exactly. It's a heavy ball. And you know what's interesting is that he's coming off of him and Jansen are coming off of rough 2019s. Like Treinen went from that 38 saves you mentioned in 2018 to not even closing out games for the Athletics last year. So, you know, in that sense, those two guys have bounced back and their bullpen is good. But listen, I still like where the Padres are. Obviously, the thing that's starting to rear its head a little bit is the bullpen, right? I mean, Tim Hill comes in and we talked about it a lot when they acquired him. He's terrific against left-handed hitters. That's what he does. But the matchup that, you know, and this is just a cat-and-mouse game that's played between two teams. Hill comes in with Peterson on, with Peterson coming to the plate. They pinch hit. They bring in Pollock, and, you know, he makes them pay. And, you know, that's the kind of thing that you hope that when that matchup is made, that your guy can come out on top. And unfortunately for the Padres, right, Tim Hill wasn't able to come out on top.
I'll tell you one thing. Jace Tingler is going to have to make an adjustment there, Tony. I'll be honest with you. That's the second time in the last 5 days that he's brought Tim Hill in with a left-handed batter coming to the plate. Actually, once it was Tim Hill and once it was Matt Strom. So against Colorado, he brought Matt Strom in with a left-handed hitter coming to the plate. And the Bud Black put Matt Kemp up, and Kemp hit the two-run double to turn that one game around. Last night, they brought Pollock up. He hit the double off Tim Hill. Tim Hill, you know, I like what he does, as you said, against lefties, but you're a big leaguer. You got to get some right-handed batters out. Otherwise, they can't go to you because teams are going to switch the lefty out for right-handers, especially with the 28-man roster. You have an extra guy or two to work with. So,
damned if you do, damned if you don't in that situation, though.
I understand. Stammen made a bad play, but I would have rather had Stammen face Peterson than Hill face Pollock, and that is totally second-guessing because it's after the fact.
Yeah, I don't know if the numbers support that, but at the end of the day, the move didn't work, so that's what this leads to.
Well, the one thing also, Stammen, we love Stammen, but I'm gonna throw some compliments toward Jace Tingler, because I thought the play Stammen made on the air was not a good play in a couple of matters. Number one, he went down and picks up the baseball. But I think he forgot, Tony, that the catcher, Austin Barnes, was running. Now, granted, Austin Barnes is not a slow-footed catcher.
He can run. Yeah.
He can run a little bit, but Stammen had a lot more time to make that throw than he thought he did. And he rushed the throw, and I believe that's what, you know, caused it to sail over the head of Cronenworth and set up the go-ahead run. But after the game, Jace Tingler's asked about that. You know what he said? He said, I got to take a look at the tape, but I think when Austin Barnes hit that ball, it went right down into the mud. And I think there was some mud on the ball.
On the ball, that could be a
possibility. And I think that may have created the bad throw. Whether there was mud on the ball or not, if I'm Craig Stammen, that's fantastic. I love to hear my manager sticking up for me even when I messed up on the play.
Right.
And I think that's going to go a long way for Jace Tingler. He did that with Jurickson Profar yesterday, too.
He's been very protective of his guys.
Blah, 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 and he can't do anything. And you know what? Jace Tingler says, yeah, but he's still seeing more pitches than any of our hits, having great at-bats. He's hitting some line drive. look, whether it's true or not, players, I'm speaking for players, so you can tell me, but players absolutely love their manager when they do stuff like that, right?
Especially early on as you're trying to get to really solidify relationships, right? Because remember, this is their all first time being around Jace Tingler on a consistent basis. And then that was interrupted by COVID-19. So, yes, of course, that is a strategy playing the long game right there. Is you protect your guys early. Now, I promise you it won't be like that throughout the entire season. But for now, he's got to have these guys locked in, buttoned up, even when they aren't necessarily playing well. Remember, he did this earlier in the season with the bullpen when they had their rough couple of nights there in San Francisco. He protected all those guys. He said, I expect these guys to get back on the horse, and we're going to keep running them out there. That goes a long way. Now, your hope as a manager is that they recognize that, and they do their best not to put you back in a position where you got to keep doing this. You know what I'm saying?
Right. You keep running them out there, and they keep giving up runs, and eventually you're going to have to make up a decision. But anyway, Dodgers take the game last night 5-2 and even up the series at a game apiece. Padres fall into third for the moment. I know it's too early to scoreboard watch, but it's not really that early to scoreboard watch. Like I said yesterday, somebody tapped the Rockies on the shoulder and remind them they're 8-2. The Padres are now two games out of first place, a game behind the Dodgers. But we'll see where it goes tonight in the rubber game of the series. We're going to open up the phone lines. We have a little extra time here in the opening hour of the program today before we get to Chris versus the fans at 4 o'clock. So just curious. I thought Scraby had an interesting tweet today. He said, would it be okay for the Padres to get their first no-hitter in a year when it's only 60 games and there's no fans in attendance to see it? I thought that was a fair question by Scraby. But I think more importantly, how are you feeling with where the Padres are right now? We've got 12 games of a sample size to look at. What are you happiest about? What are you most concerned about? Do you think this team is in it for the long haul? And I'm talking about a short season, but the long haul, are they going to be right there knocking on the door for one of these playoff spots 48 games from right now? What do you think? Give us a call on the program. We'll open up the phone lines for you and take your calls at 833-288-0973. That's 833-288-0973. Let you be Jace Tingler for a moment. Let you decide, hey, when are you going to start Luis Patino, or how are you going to use Luis Patino? There's so many things you can talk about with this Padre ball club through 12 games. Want to get some of your thoughts out there while we have the time. So, show is underway. We're here until 5 o'clock. I'm Chris Sello. That's Tony Gwynn Jr. We'll hear from you. Talk more Padres baseball when we come back on San Diego's number one sports talk station. It's 97.3 The Fan.
This is like some Halloween music you got here. It's great.
Yeah.
Welcome in to Gwynn and Chris 318 on the clock. Tony Gwynn Jr., Chris Sello. Padres go down last night to the Dodgers, 5-2. And
I do not want to say that was the all-time Scrooby, but it's just on the list of things that we deal with, because we talked about this for about a minute during the break.
We did.
And what
he still doesn't even realize
it. When we came back from the break, Scraby was going to play a highlight of Jake Cronenworth's
home run. Hold on. Computer
is
broken.
No, it's too late now.
The moment has passed.
One-two pitch in the air to deep right field. Going back, Peterson, looking up, gonna go. First major league home run for Jake Cronenworth. What can't this guy do?
Right,
he's giving the Padres a 2-0 lead.
No, yes, it's too late. Once Tony welcomes us all back, you have to play the clip before we welcome back, Scraby. You ought to know how radio works by now.
The interesting thing about this, Chris, is that Scraby's been in radio a lot longer than I have. And even I knew coming back, as even he was pointing to me on the computer screen, that I was like, okay, I guess that means he's not playing the home run.
Right, you were waiting for him to play the clip as he was supposed to do, and he just completely boggled it up.
I got lost in conversation with you guys.
You know what else happened? Evidently, during the break, Scraby broke the phone lines, because I know all of you out there wanted to call in and talk about Padre baseball at 833-288-0973. It's a very exciting start to the season. You got Tony Gwynn Jr. here, an expert on baseball. You have Chris Sello, who is, you know, sometimes intelligent when it comes to baseball. We gave you the opportunity to talk Padres with us. And evidently, people were all dialing in, but Scraby couldn't get to the phone calls. So
his new excuse for everything is the computer's broke. So
computer's broke.
The phone lines are broke. The computer's broke. Nothing works here, apparently.
Yeah.
Except when the show already we come back and I've already introduced, welcome everybody in. Then all of a sudden, the computer miraculously starts working.
Well, that's how long it takes once I hit play. To when it played.
No.
You're so full of it.
I would really like for people to call because I said I guarantee you we get a lot of phone calls today. So yeah. Please. 833-288-0973.
Please.
I'm begging for calls now. I personally am not begging.
You are that hasn't happened. That hasn't happened since the early days of you know who over at that other station many, many years ago, begging for phone calls.
No,
that is not a good look.
What would you call this, Scrape? It's not begging. What do you call it?
A gentle poke.
Please
call the show.
I did not sound like that, Chris. I was not crying when I said it, okay?
I thought I recognized a tear there.
833-288-0973. Make me look good.
That's now three times. Just want to point that out.
Make me look good.
A gentle poke, huh? All right. Well, let's hear from Jace Tingler because we talked about the Nelson Lamet and what a terrific start he was off to, and then the sixth inning came and things kind of fell apart. Let's hear from Jace Tingler, his thoughts on Lamet.
Yeah, he was really impressive. You know, had good carry on his fastball, and you know the slider was good. Mixed in some curveballs. He changed his times. You know, with the slide step, the leg kick, he did a good job of keeping him off balance. And, you know, we've got to be a little bit better behind him. But I thought it was a really encouraging outing for him.
Did I miss something with Lamet? Did we make some errors with him in the game?
Yeah. The biggest play of the game happened with him in the game. I mean, that was the ball. He was still in there with runners at first and second and two out when Seager hit the single to center field. But, you know, you brought up something that was important on that play that wasn't really discussed, and that is that Seager worked the count and stayed up there forever and got it to a 3-2 count. Yeah. And because he got it to a 3-2 count, Bellinger was able to take off with the pitch from first base. And I think when Seager got the single to center field, I'm almost positive. I mean, obviously, Turner's going to score from second because he's running with the pitch. That's a given. But I think what happened was Trent Grisham may have just looked up for a half a second to see where Bellinger was, and that caused him to bobble the ball.
Oh, yes, that's right, Trent.
And then Bellinger came around and scored the tying run on that single. And, you know, this is my first really cranky moment in the Padres season. I have to be honest with you. It's coming up right now.
Wow, 10 games.
Yeah, it took 12 games for me to get a cranky moment.
Okay.
But I'm going to tell you what it is. I'm getting a little tired of sticking up for Francisco Mejia. He's actually going to have to start making some plays back there. He's actually going to have to start looking a lot better, handling the pitches. And I got to be honest with you, the throw from Trent Grisham was pretty close to beating Bellinger, but Mejia didn't come up with the ball. I mean, I know it's a tough play, but you got to make some tough plays if you want to win these kinds of games. And unless Mejia's hitting, you know, 400 with, you know, five home runs and 15 RBIs, I'm having trouble watching him behind home plate right now, Tony. Yeah. I don't think he's gotten a whole lot better from last year to this year defensively.
I said it yesterday, actually.
I know you did. Jumping on that bandwagon.
The more I watch him behind the plate, I'll take you back even further. Do you remember the complications that Kirby was having in Colorado
yes.
with him? They were shaking off. That's the last thing you want to be worried about, having multiple conferences at the mound, having to step off. And remember, because you have the mound visit rule, they couldn't just keep going out there to talk to each other. So they had to keep talking, stepping off the rubber, re-going through the sign. And it just seemed like Kirby was a little frustrated with that. And
he was frustrated with that because I would be if I was pitching.
Right.
I mean, there's no question about it.
And so, listen, I'm sure ultimately, you know, guys are going to do what they have to do. But when you break down that catching competition, nobody's hitting right now. So that's an even matchup. But to me, defensively, It's just not close right now. Whether we're not even talking about throwing the base, but we're talking about receiving, being on the same page as your pitchers. All of that is true right now. And Mejia seems to be, I don't want to say he's regressing, but he hasn't improved very much, I don't think.
He hasn't. And like I said, it's my first cranky moment of the season, but I'm kind of getting tired of watching him back there. And that's as you said, Tony, the biggest thing of all is the frustration on the faces of the pitchers.
Yeah.
And it's hard enough to get these guys out, hard enough to execute the pitches you need to execute. If you have to worry about what sign you're getting and whether your catcher's on the same page as you, and I just don't see that from Mejia right now. And I'll be honest, I'm not exactly, you know, voting Austin Hedges for, you know, the Johnny Bench Award back there. But, I mean, at least he can catch.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, this is really getting frustrating right now to me, the catching situation. It's not a good
thing. I won't completely let Trent Grisham off the hook here because he did boot that ball.
He did. And he got the error for the play. Mejia didn't even get an error. So.
He should have gotten error because that really is the difference in that play being close and not close at all. But at the back end of it, there still was a chance. Mejia's got to hang on to that ball. They get the tag down. I think Bellinger's out, but these are the little things. These are the little things that we're talking about that take you from being a team that is wishing to get in the playoffs and a team that is in the playoff hunt. And Padres got to clean some of these small things up. I like their effort. It's clear that this is a better baseball team. I don't think anybody watching over the first 12 could disagree with that. This is a different team. They seem to have a plan of attack offensively, but there's still some of the little things that they got to clean up, no doubt about it. Jace Tingler also talked about the phenom, Mr. Cronenworth, who has come in and filled in, whether it's at second, mainly first base, showing off the leaps yesterday, hit a home run. He talked about if we would be seeing more of Jake Cronenworth.
I don't know, surprising again, you know, he's got talent and he works, you know, he's got an incredible work ethic and, you know, for the guys that are, you know, playing, performing, and that seems to be the common theme. The guys that, you know, work incredibly hard and work on their craft and, but, you know, what he's doing defensively over there at first, you know, it's nice having, you know, a shortstop range, you know, over there and he's had impressive at-bats and, you know, May was, you know, as good as we've seen this year as well, and he was able to get an off-speed pitch, and, you know, Crony hammered it to right, so he had a good night.
He's Crony having good nights right now.
He's having lots of good nights. He's having lots of good at-bats. It doesn't matter. He handles velocity. We saw that the other night. What's it against? How do you say his last name?
Gratterall,
yeah. That guy was throwing 100, and he just laced that to left. He hit the homer out on May yesterday, got a breaking ball, as Jay said. He's showing off his versatility. He does – was it you who said he reminds you of a Dodger-type guy? Was that you we heard that from?
I think it was Jesse who said that.
It might have been. Yeah, it was Jesse.
Yeah, yeah.
It was Jesse.
He was
Jesse.
Making the comparison
that,
to PK.
That is a good – that's a perfect match, I think. He is that type of guy. The Padres have him on their roster, obviously. But he's showing his worth. And I think, really, I don't look at it as you know, I think it's kind of ridiculous to want to stick him at first base there for the rest of the season, like you're starting to hear a little bit. But
no, that's silly. I mean, Hosmer hopefully can come back Saturday, and he's off to a good start.
Right. So you
put
Hosmer in there.
All you do is put Cronenworth in at second base,
and now you
have
more.
That's what's going to happen.
Now you have more depth, and that's what should happen. So I'm excited about the young kid. We had a chance to sit with him in spring training and talk to him, and you just got the sense he was excited to have an opportunity to make the big league club. Now, the big league is really about getting opportunity and taking advantage of it, and Jake's certainly doing that.
All right, keep in mind, everybody, it was one loss last night. The Padres are still 7-5. If the postseason started today, the Padres would be in the postseason. I mean,
Word. That's
all it's going to take to get into the postseason is be a little bit over 500. Remember, 8 teams are going to make it. And if you finish in first or second, you automatically make it. But if you don't finish in first or second, they take 2 more teams with the best record. Well, right now, that best record belongs to the Padres. So things are fine. I thought last night's game, it's going to be interesting to see how they bounce back tonight. I just saw the lineup. I think there'll be a little extra pressure on Profar because he's back in the lineup tonight. And I think he's got to know that if he doesn't produce a little something here in the next couple of games, that when Hosmer comes back, of course they're going to move Cronenworth to second base. I mean, you can't afford not to move Cronenworth to second base once Hosmer comes back. So we'll see if Profar can get something going tonight. And I think I saw Hedges in the lineup catching tonight too. So that doesn't surprise me after last night with Mejia behind the plate.
Yeah, no doubt about it. Rob Manfred in Major League Baseball have some new protocols in place.
I don't know if we're going to have time to talk about that with all those phone calls Scraby was able to scrape up.
Yes, those phone calls as well as MLB and their new protocol coming up next. This is Gwen and Chris, San Diego's number one sports station, 97.3 The Fan.
Odyssey is giving you a chance to win a trip to London to see Taylor Swift at the Eras Tour. It's Tay in the UK.
Hey, it's Taylor.
Just download the free Odyssey app, log in and listen to a participating station for a minimum of 60 minutes to get your daily entry. And you could win a chance to fly off to London with three friends and see Taylor.
I can't wait to see you at the Eras Tour in London.
For more, go to odyssey.com/Taylor.
Tay in the UK.
It's on the Odyssey app.
Thanks to Republic Records.
This is a national contest.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Scrape, you know what? I think I figured out your problem getting phone calls right now. 3:36 is the time. Crisello, Tony Gwynn Jr., Scrape begging for phone calls. That's one of the reasons you're not getting them. But the other problem is the fact that you're not offering a prize for calling in. See, our listeners are used to getting prizes when they call in for Chris versus the Fans and all that stuff.
Yeah.
You see where I'm going here?
I do. It's just kind of sad that we can't talk to our friends without offering them something. So.
Well, I understand a bunch of people called during the break at least to try to make you feel better.
They did.
did it work? Doesn't sound like it worked.
No, because I asked them if they wanted to go on the air, but they didn't. So.
So they didn't want to go on the air, man. Get off their back.
We got the best listeners out there, man. I love our listeners.
We do.
They're fantastic. And when you know what? Our people don't just call to hear their own voice. When our people call, they have something good to say. I mean, I've noticed that ever since the show began, Tony. I mean, we get really good phone callers, and we don't have people who call up and say, I just want to hear myself talk and ask a silly question. So that's cool. I'm good with that. We already have enough of that kind of person with Scraby. We don't we don't need that.
We got enough of that for one show.
Yeah, we have plenty of that. But anyway, we'll have callers at 4 o'clock when we get to Chris versus the Fans.
Oh wait, hold on. We have a call. Let me screen it.
Well, go screen the call. I'm busy doing the show right now. My goodness. If you're working from home, you can stream 97.3 The Fan on your home computer by going to 97.3thefansd.com and clicking on the Listen Live button. We're here for you, San Diego. Thanks for listening to San Diego's number one sports station, 97.3 The Fan. Tony, I know that we have a couple of hours left on the show, but we only get your undivided attention for another 15 minutes or so because Laker basketball is going to be coming up.
Yeah.
And I was giving you a hard time about this because I'm like, really? They've already wrapped up the top seed in the Western Conference. They don't really have a whole lot to play for at this point. They're playing Oklahoma City this afternoon. But you said, I don't care. I'm watching because I'm just the biggest. That's what happens when you're the biggest Laker fan in the world right there.
That's exactly what happens. And we talked about the agony that we suffered for the last 8 years. Right. And I remember that agony. And I'm going to enjoy every last bit of the first seed, you know, that the Lakers get to enjoy. And yeah. Who knows when that listen, as much as we want to believe winning lasts forever, it doesn't. So I want to enjoy it while I can.
We thought it lasted forever if you're a Laker because we say they were in the playoffs 35 out of 37 years.
They were.
And then all of a sudden they missed it 6 years in a row.
tough times, man.
So that's not something the Laker fans are used to. They are a top seed for the first time in 10 years. But I'll tell you who's really hit a speed bump in the NBA, and I don't know how many people are really into it yet, but the Memphis Grizzlies have now lost. They lost again today to the Utah Jazz. So they dropped five in a row, and all of a sudden they're just a game and a half or something ahead of Portland.
Well, they remember, when this season left off, they were starting to play bad, and the Pelicans were starting to play better. Now, right. You come back and in the restart, and not only has Memphis continued to play bad, but now, not just Pelicans, Portland, San Antonio, the Suns, are all playing some really good basketball. The Suns have won every game that they've had since they've been there. So they're three games out. You got Portland one game out. You got San Antonio two games out. So it's making for an interesting play-in game or possible play-in game the way this is going right now.
Yeah, you got four teams separated by two games, five teams separated by 2.5 games. Six teams are separated by three games if you throw the Sacramento Kings into the mix, they've lost four in a row. But six teams within three games. And, you know, now Memphis isn't even guaranteed of getting into that 8-9 playoff game.
Right, right. And let me say this. Yesterday, I mentioned it to you yesterday, but the fact that Jaren Jackson's out for the rest of the season with the meniscus tear, him and Morant have been the best two players on that team. And without Jackson, it's just Morant, and I don't think that's enough.
I'll tell you one thing. The Portland Trailblazers, by and large, led by Damian Lillard, really never seemed like they were all that interested in even coming back to finish out the season. Like, I mean, they were kind of doing it because that was the plan, but it seemed like they were kind of whining and complaining a little bit about it, and it was like Damian Lillard like, what are we even really doing this for?
Well, that was before they actually finalized how the seating was going to work. He was out, completely out, if they weren't going to have some type of playing, and as it turns out, the way they've played, they may very well end up being an 8 seed regardless of the play-in.
They're right, and if there was the play-in game right now, would actually be Memphis versus Portland if they had it right now.
Shout out,
Portland sitting in the number 9 spot. So, and I'll tell you another thing: the Lakers, I know they're going to win in the first round, you know, and everybody's certainly going to be expecting them to. But wasn't Portland in the Western Conference Finals? Was it last year?
No, 2 years trust ago. Trust me, I'm not happy about Portland being involved in this conversation. You could have given
because that could be a really tough first round matchup for the Lakers.
You could have gave me any of the other four teams we mentioned: Memphis, San Antonio, Pelicans, Suns. Yeah. You could have gave me any of those. I would have been perfectly fine. But Portland, they got some playoff pedigree. And by the way, shout out to Carmelo Anthony because he's hit two daggers in two of the three games that Portland has played. Late in the game, they're finding him for the ball. He's knocked shots down. His team is going to end up, and I hope somebody. I don't want to play Portland. I'm not like scared that the Lakers are going to lose in the first round, but it's going to be a much tougher series if Portland is the AC compared to any of the other teams.
Well, we'll see how it goes. You know how Carmelo Anthony comes to play around playoff time, Tony. Oh, wait a second. He's never in the playoffs. Sorry.
I know. You and Max Kellerman both dogging my man Carmelo.
I always dog Carmelo. I always dog Carmelo. But there's one thing I will say. You can only dog Carmelo so much because when it comes to offense and scoring the basketball, he's one of the top 20 scorers in NBA history.
Yeah.
So
the
guy can still fill it up regardless of what I think of him. And, you know, good for him to hit those game-winning shots the last couple of games. So that's good.
Yeah.
So very good. All right, Scraby, did your begging finally pay off? Is this what you're telling me?
It did.
Good.
It did.
All right. So we got a couple of phone calls.
Yes, we'll go with Caitlin first. Caitlin wanted to talk Padres, and then Nadine wanted to talk Padres.
All right, well, let's bring Caitlin on the program.
She's on.
Caitlin.
Hello. Caitlin? I'm here.
Hi, Caitlin.
Caitlin, how much did Scraby...
I thought this would be the perfect time.
How much is Scraby going to pay you for coming on?
I'll be bumped ahead to the top of the list next time I call in.
All right.
Oh, perfect.
All right,
there you go. Thank you for joining us. What's on your mind?
Yeah. Well, you know, I think the Padres, there's still a lot of hope. It's early, and they're doing okay. And, you know, one of our sayings, keep the faith. I do get a little nervous, though, just with yesterday's game of a repeat problem that we had last season of the pitching kind of not following through all the way through the game. And also just with the team being so different this season, it seems like maybe they need to find a way to, like, throw back a few and watch the Sandlot and get that camaraderie going.
Too bad we can't do that this year.
Yeah, no. Caitlin, there's definitely still hope. Thank you for the phone call. Listen, I think, unfortunately, in the kind of setting we're in right now, kicking back with a couple brujas and kind of getting that camaraderie, it's kind of dangerous right now. It makes it a little tougher. Yeah, no, I hear what she's saying. No, the problems of the bullpen and really not being able to at least hold lead or keep things where they are, even if you're down or tied, has been a little bit of an issue. But I personally believe that this bullpen is too good to continue to pitch like this throughout the season.
Hopefully we'll see more performances like we saw Pagan, Pomeranz, and Yates in the first game of the series. But she's right, because last night was doubly disappointing last night, because you had Tim Hill come in for Stammen, and the first guy he faced, he gave up an RBI double to Pollock. Then you had Pierce Johnson come in for Hill, and the first guy he faced, he gave up an RBI single to Chris Taylor. So that it's kind of an extra blow to you. You know, when you bring a guy in, that first hitter you face with a runner in scoring position, and then to give up a run immediately like that, and that happened twice last night. So definitely has not been an easy go in the bullpen. But look around baseball. The bullpen, we talked about this. Well, who was the layoff going to affect the most? Was it going to be the timing of the hitters? Was it going to be starting pitchers? And would they be able to, you know, keep their arms fresh and be able to throw more four or five innings? We never really talked about the bullpen. But the bullpen guys have really been struggling around baseball. This is not just a Padres situation. And I have a feeling, Tony, it's because when you're in a bullpen, everything's got to really be right, and you got to really have it together and be very precise in what you do coming out of that bullpen. And I think that the layoff and the fact that you only had a few weeks to kind of start pitching again has kind of affected the bullpen guys as much, if not more, than anybody.
We actually did talk about this a little bit, and one of the things we both talked about, I know it seems small, but the relievers are like the one spot on the team on the field that when they come into a game, it's usually met with some type of energy, whether it's road energy or home energy from the crowd.
Oh, that's right. We did talk about that.
There's none of that. There's none of that right now. And as a matter of fact, when we had Kirby on, he virtually said it was going to take some getting used to. It is what it is. It has to be done. But it was going to take some getting used to. And I think across the league, relievers are experiencing that. They're getting a chance, and listen, nobody's going to complain about it, but they're going to have to try to figure out ways to get their engines going and to lock in. I do take some solace in the fact that when I watch the bullpen, it's specifically Tim Hill, when I watch him come out of the pen, he's not one of those guys that's throwing pitches and it's like, oh man, he has nothing. His ball seems like it only says 92. But it honestly on TV looks like it's coming in way harder than that. And it's coming from an unusual spot. You're just catching too much play and playing against good teams like this. And listen, the National League West, which is all the opponents that the Padres are pretty much going to play this year, is a very tough division. It might be the best division in baseball as of right now. So it's not going to get easier. I'm certainly very hopeful that this bullpen gets everything kind of going back in the direction we all assumed that they would be. But it's not an easy – I don't think this is as easy as task as we might have thought it would be for the relievers. Starting pitchers, starting players in general, it's a little different. You come into you kind of get to settle into the game. Relievers don't get that option. They come in, they got to be on point. And it's just been off, and that's been across the board in Major League Baseball.
Yeah, when Kirby Yates comes into a game in Coors Field normally with a one- or a two-run lead going into the bottom of the last inning, they announce his name, and 50,000 people stand up and boo and scream and yell at him. Now he comes into a completely empty cauldron.
It's a totally
different feeling for him, totally different atmosphere.
Yeah.
So I think it's a great point. Great point. All right, let's keep up with the phone calls. Nadine joins us here on Gwen and Chris on 97.3 The Fan. Hi, Nadine.
Yes, hello, guys. How are you?
We are well, great. Nadine. How about yourself?
Good, thank you. I just wanted to call to say that I second both of your guys' thoughts on Mejia, because I'm a big Hedges fan, and, you know, he's great behind the plate. So in my mind, I thought, all right, they're going to put Mejia behind the plate because he's going to get on base and do the job of a good catcher. And it just seems like both aren't sticking for some reason so far this season. So I don't see the advantage of putting Mejia behind the plate so many games when Hedges does a better job behind there if they're both not getting on base.
Fair point.
There's no question.
Fair point, Nadine. I thank you for the phone call. I think Nadine is spot on. Like, it's one thing if you're definitely going to get better offense out of the catching position from Mejia, at this point, it's not really a competition. But that's not the case. They're both about same hitting, and to me, one has been a lot better than the other, and that's Hedges. It's been a lot better than Mejia defensively. And to be honest, how long has Mejia's been here? What, year? 2 years?
About a year and a half. I think it was mid-season.
Mid-season, so a year and a half. Yeah. I honestly haven't seen a lot of change from him defensively behind the plate. Like, he hasn't gotten better. He's the same guy, I think, when he first got here a little bit.
He seems like it, no question about it. Maybe it's because I just want to like Mejia so much. I mean, remember the Padres traded Brad Hand away to get him, you know, their all-star closer. Yeah. And, you know, you figure if A.J. Preller is going to part with somebody as good as Brad Hand, that he's going to get himself somebody pretty good in Francisco Mejia. And then remember, Mejia came in and lit it up there at the very beginning. I think he had that two-home run game in Cincinnati right off the bat. And boy, everybody thought, man, we really got something here. But I'm down on Mejia right now. He's going to have to change. And that doesn't mean I'll stay down on him.
No, it's early. It's early.
It's a fluid situation. But right now, I'm definitely down on a guy that's 2-for-20 on the season with a one walk and a 100 batting average. You know, I mean, that's not good enough to supplant Austin Hedges, who has only one hit, but is doing a great job, but, you know, out there defensively and handling the pitching staff. So
the interesting thing is when we did our roundtable, I think you and I both said the hot guy should play. The hot guy should play. Well, neither of them are particularly hot at the plate. So what does it boil down to? It boils down to defense. And
you know who asked me this last night? Odd Thomas. Of course, of all people.
Oh, why are we talking about him?
Because he asked me an interesting question last night, Scraby. Just mind your own business. Answer the phones.
Oh, we have calls for you guys to take if you're gonna.
Whatever.
If you're gonna go there.
You begged enough. I'm glad we got some calls.
Yeah, no kidding. Odd Thomas said, "Hey, maybe Cronenworth can play some catcher." And I said, all right, now you're getting a little bit crazy.
That's the dumbest thing I have ever heard in my life.
It's not the dumbest thing I've ever heard, because I've heard you say a lot of stuff.
Wait.
But
you set yourself up for that one.
Yeah,
Scrape.
You did.
Sorry.
But no, you can't just walk in at the major league level and just start catching.
No.
But, the Padres have a situation here, and I'll tell you what it's going to come down to. Remember when we had the over-under prop bets on the Padres at the beginning of the season.
Yes.
And I think the bet was that Mejia would be 31 games or more that he would start. I picked under. The reason I picked under is not so much that I think Hedges is going to get a lot of starts, but I think eventually they're going to dip down. And you may see Campusano, you may see Torrens, you may see both of them. I think the Padres have to take a look in that direction if what's happening at the catching position continues.
That is certainly something that I've been thinking about often. Both of those guys, I believe, are on the taxi squad. So you have the ability to – Torrens has had some major league experience, so it wouldn't be like he would be wide-eyed when he got up to this point. Listen, if things continue the way it is, I don't care how good either of them are defensively. That certainly will be something that is into the conversation for sure.
All right, let's sneak another phone call in here before the top of the hour. Ronnie, welcome to Gwen and Chris. How are you?
What's up, Ronnie?
Hey, guys. Just real quick, I know you guys are busy, but I really wanted to dwell on it. Why does a DH have to be a pitcher, first off? Can't you have a DH for a catcher, per se? Uh-huh. And another thing is, regarding that position, you would think that why isn't the catcher the best hitting player on the team in general? Because he gets a chance to know the umps. He gets a chance. His whole job is working with the pitchers and working with knowing how balls travel and whatnot. Why isn't the catcher just kind of verbatim kind of known as, like, he should be one of the better players on the team? Just like a first baseman, we kind of know that the first baseman is going to have power. The second shortstop is going to have a high fielding, you know, a high batting average. Why does a catcher have to have the stigma of being poor regarding the batting average?
Yeah.
Interesting, Ronnie. Interesting point.
Good questions, Ronnie.
The first question's an interesting question. Why don't you just DH for the catcher? Yes, you could do that, but then your pitcher would have to bat.
Right.
And that's probably even worse off than having the catcher bat. So,
right.
And I don't think anybody wants a pitcher's out running the bases right now, especially in this season. So that's the answer to that one. But I don't really know the other one. I mean, you would think
traditionally
one thing happens, catchers become great managers normally.
Right.
But not
right.
They're not all great hitters.
I think traditionally catchers don't hit consistently because of the beating their bodies take behind the plate.
Yeah.
Most hitting is your legs from the ground up. You're using the ground up to generate. And when you're in that squat position for 9 innings, your body just it's just different. It feels different. And I think traditionally that's why the catching position is looked at the way it is. And for a long time, catchers weren't expected to hit. It doesn't necessarily – that's why guys like Johnny Bench and Mike Piazza, they stand out so vividly because they did stuff at that position that no catchers were really able to do.
Yeah, Pudge Rodriguez.
Pudge Rodriguez, another one, yeah.
But that's going over about 40 years of baseball and coming up with about 5 names. So it's not a lot of guys. All right, thanks for the phone calls. Thanks for begging for the phone call, Scraby. Now you guys can call and play Chris versus the Fans, 833-288-0973. That's next on 97.3 The Fan.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.